ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोश्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर स्टडीइंग दि गॉस्पेल ऑफ श्री रामकृष्ण. इन अवर लास्ट क्लास श्री रामकृष्ण वॉज रेफरिंग अबाउट थ्री टाइप्स ऑफ फिजिशियंस, फर्स्ट क्लास, मिडिल क्लास and lower class. Unfortunately, we have to add a fourth class nowadays. A third class physician just prescribes the medications and never inquires after the patient. A middle class one now and then inquires but doesn't take much interest in the patient. But a first class physician, if necessary, he forces them. What to? In the fourth class, just now I referred, there are some very evil people in this world. If you go for something, they will create something else so that their business can continue. Now, how do we connect it in spiritual life? First class guru, that's what Sri Ramakrishna was earlier talking about, a first class guru, a second class guru, a third class guru. If any guru falls under any of these three categories, we would have been very lucky people. But nowadays, how much of deception, even to the extent of, sometimes of course, killing devotees, is taking place. We do not know what to call these fourth types of gurus, but at least a third class guru is one who doesn't do any harm. He initiates the devotee and inquires just a little bit. But higher than that, a teacher, a guru, goes on telling, even though many of the devotees do not listen. But a first-class devotee, first-class teacher, both must be first-class. Then he even forces. We have to remember that it is God alone who comes in the form of a human being to guide us. Let us never forget it. What comes out even from the lowest of the gurus is nothing but the sacred teachings of the Vedas. However, they are expressed in local language. There have been so many saints. Surudas, for example, Kanakadasa, for example. When these people are recognized, and there will be people who will be able to recognize them and take refuge in them. When they talk, they do not talk in Sanskrit. They do not talk high-flowing words. They just talk in ordinary language, their own language. In South India, there was a very famous saint known as Anjanappa Swami, Anjaneya Swami. He used to compose some songs, but they are very ordinary words, but extraordinary meaning. Even in that case, Ramprasad, the well-known teacher, is no exception. But Sri Ramakrishna followed his bhajans. Every bhajan is an Upanishad for the devotees. We have to remember that one. The bhajans composed by the saints and sages is not an ordinary bhajan at all. It is one of the greatest teachings, the same Vedic knowledge flowing in different languages. I remember a marvelous Russian story. There was a cobbler and he was not literate. So somehow he used to memorize. He could just read a little bit of the words. So the prayer, he put it together in a small book, and every day with great difficulty he used to read that book, which is a prayer to the Divine Lord. One day he forgot to bring that book along with him, and then he has to pray. Such was his great love for God. So he told God, "Lord, you know I am illiterate. I don't even remember, but I will be praying. You put the words together." And God heard it and turned towards the angel Gabriel And he said, this is the greatest prayer I heard in all my lifetime. It is the earnestness. It is the Shraddha that really counts. Now, we are talking about the physicians. So, every guru is only a mouthpiece, a tap. In Sri Ramakrishna's words, the water comes only from gods. But when it rains, sometimes we can store them and redirect that water through pipes. Every guru is like a pipe. And there are also different types of pipes. Some are completely stainless steel. I don't know whether anybody has put golden pipe, silver pipe, but at least beautiful, first class, stainless steel pipe, which doesn't rust, clean water flows through. And there are also plastic pipes. But the water that comes might be a little bit contaminated, but for an earnest, thirsty soul, it doesn't really matter. Now, what is important? A first-class physician forces his disciple until he realizes God, he will not allow him to get out of his grip. Sri Ramakrishna gives a beautiful example, and he was referring to himself. If a water snake swallows a big frog, then it is agony for both the snake as well as the frog. And then turning this, he tells to one of the devotees, you wretch, you think you are swallowed by a water snake? You are caught hold of by the most virulent poisonous cobra, at best 3 croaks, and then you will die. That means I have accepted you and I will not leave you. But then what is important for us to note down here is that sometimes God creates difficulties. So it is said, whenever people are going through suffering, there could be different causes. So one cause definitely will be one's own prarabdha, whatever we have done in the past, not only in the last birth, but through many of the lakhs of births, especially as a human being. And we have to remember in this context that karma phala doesn't apply to animals, to babies, and to madcaps. Only a person who has a rational mind, deliberately, purposefully, if a person does good or evil, dharma or adharma, then only the karma phala comes in the form of punyam and papam. So, accidentally, if something happens, if we do something and some harm has come to somebody, many accidents are like that. People do not know each other. But karma phala will not come to that. Only when a person deliberately, schemingly tries both good and bad. So, if somebody, some small child, for example, gives away golden ornament, when you show some biscuits or lozenges, the child doesn't get dharma or punya. Only he must grow up. I want to help other people because they are all children of God, Shiva Jnane, Jiva Shiva. Then only they will get the dharma, otherwise not. So, when people go through suffering, one cause definitely is one's own prarabdham, the resultant of what a person had done in many, many, many a life. But there is some other reason. And God deliberately, it is not as a result of karma phala, but as a result of God's will, He creates problems. Why? Because problems alone can help a person grow up. At first, it may seem like it is going to be extraordinarily difficult to tolerate, to put up with, to bear sufferings and difficulties. But no, God will also give at the same time strength. Many a teacher had told this. In the expression, it is recorded also. When God gives suffering to man, He also gives at the same time the capacity for that person to cope up with that difficulty. But if God gives both, then man will not learn a lesson. But he has to go through that suffering and ultimately take refuge in God. Then God gives him the strength, and that strength alone can help the person. So these are the three types of physicians and three types of gurus. And we have seen a little bit how it is there. That was what we discussed in our last class actually. Then one, Brahmo devotee. This is with Brahmo devotees. So because of Keshav Chandra Sen, many Brahmo devotees were attracted to Sri Ramakrishna, and sometimes they used to come on their own. But many times, some of the rich Brahmo devotees used to invite Sri Ramakrishna for some special festival. At that time, a large gathering of Brahmo devotees will be coming. We do not know the occasion here, but there would be some, there must have been some such occasion. So, one of the Brahmo devotees, and we have to understand, whatever ideas we have about these Brahmo devotees, we have to understand how fortunate they are to talk directly with God in the form of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swami Vivekananda, whether they realize it or not. In fact, some things are very surprising, even shocking. Swami Vivekananda had given initiation, and some of the devotees had betrayed him terribly. If you still recollect, in England, Miss Muller, she turned against Swamiji, but she helped. It was her money with which Belure Mutt land was purchased actually, nearly 40,000 rupees. Then E.T. Studdy, who served Swamiji so much, turned a bitterest critic of his own guru. And then in America, Kripananda, he had been given sannyasa, a Russian. He had gone berserk, and he gave lot of trouble to Swamiji. I still remember in the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, when this Swamiji, when he was Narendranath, he used to bring some of his friends. What type of friends? One-eyed. Some fellows are one-eyed or squint-eyed. Sri Ramakrishna knew these are not very good characteristics. Then he asked also, why do you bring these type of people? So Swamiji had tremendous compassion. He just melts like butter in Arabian deserts. Whenever he sees anybody in distress, he trusts. Distrust is unknown to Swami Vivekananda. And Sri Ramakrishna might have warned him many times, but Swamiji had to suffer through these people. So this Kripananda, he was greatest admirer at the beginning and turned out to be a terrible torturer later on. Then there was, he gave sannyasa to one lady called Swami Abhayananda. And this Abhayananda came to India, started giving lectures, but knowing fully well, her guru is at Calcutta Belur Mutt. I think she never came and met him. Do you think these things will go unnoticed by Swami Vivekananda? He would never. But then says, Shakali tomari ichcha, ichcha moi tara tumi. Anyway, the concept about forms of God. So does God has a form? Or is he formless? Or is he beyond both form and formlessness? At the beginning itself, we also had discussed this. M himself was a person. When Sri Ramakrishna had given this teaching, God can be anything anybody likes. If God thinks, if any devotee thinks that God is a stone, he can be a stone also. Yes, by the way, there is a beautiful story. There was a hunter in South India, in Andhra Pradesh, is well known as a Sri Shaila Kshetra. And there was a dilapidated Shiva temple. And he used to go, this person used to go there, offer him meat, and then one day he found that from one of the Shiva's eyes, blood was coming out. So the devotee could not tolerate it. Said, Lord, I think something happened. You will go blind in one eye. So I will give, donate. My own eye. So he plucked out with his arrow, his own eye, and put it. The moment he did that, the blood started, completely stopped. But the other eye started. Then the devotee was ready to give his own second eye also. Shiva was very pleased with his devotion. So this person may not have any highest concept of God. In fact, that would be a wrong statement. It was not a stone. It is a living Shiva. He is just like a human being. He has got eyes. Just as we have problem with our eyes, not only EYE, biggest problem with the letter I, G-H-I. So the EYE problem is much less compared to this I problem. So Shiva, Shiva Bhakti. So wonderful it is to see how many people all over the world, in fact for a Christian, a cross is the greatest symbol of God. What is this cross of the Christians? Neti neti, not me, not I, but thee and thine. That crossing the I, that is the symbolism of the cross really. Take up thy cross and follow my footsteps. Jesus Christ instructs a rich young man who asked, how can I enter into the kingdom of heaven? He says, you cannot enter until you give up your identity. This identity means individuality. You must become universal. Becoming universal is equivalent to entering into the kingdom of heaven. Unable to understand, some religions teach their followers that you become a martyr. It's called jihad. You kill somebody, God will be highly pleased. The more number of non-religious, that is other than their own religion, the more number of people you kill, Allah will be so much pleased. How much wrong teachings, and they, not only they are wrong, they brainwash millions and millions of people, end up in believing this doctrine that Allah is somebody who loves, his bloodthirsty, he loves. Anyway, coming back to our subject, Brahmo devotees or any one of us. Sir, has God forms or has he none? His question itself is wrong. The moment we say God, as I mentioned in many times, I think in my last class also, even the most ordinary person has four ideas about God. That God is everywhere. He is Ananta. Otherwise, what happens if I am here and then God is somewhere? How is he going to help me? That is one. Second, he knows everything. Sarvajna. If I am in trouble, he doesn't know what is my trouble and what is the remedy for that trouble. Then he is as helpless as anybody else, even though he may be next to me. That is what happens to our family members. They all know, but they don't know how to help. That is the second idea. Even the most ordinary person, unthinkingly, he has this conception about God. Third idea is, God is all-powerful. He can do anything. He can simply say, just be cured, and the person will be cured. If the God says, may you be rich, instantaneously he will become rich. God is all-powerful. He can do anything, everything. And that is the third idea, conception we have about God. The fourth is, he is all-merciful. Because even if a person has got all these three, but if it doesn't feel like doing it, doesn't love us, then it is no use. So, that is what every ordinary person, God is everywhere, he knows everything, he can do anything, and he is very compassionate towards me. That is what is called religion. So, Sri Ramakrishna was being asked, as God form or as Inan? And the Vedas, and let us remember, the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, that name itself is not a very appropriate name. Sri Sri Ramakrishna Kathamritam in Bengali is a much better word, but the highest title that can be given to the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna is Sri Sri Ramakrishna Vachana Veda. The words that come out of any Jivan Mukta, not only Sri Ramakrishna, anybody who realizes God. What is the meaning of realization of God? Most of us still think a devotee is sitting or standing and God comes and sits or stands in front of him and he sees God. This is called God realization. No, God alone is real. That is called realization. That means what? Whatever we see is real. Not mithya, but real. Because there is no place for mithya. If God is everywhere, where is the place for a second something called mithya or non-God? But human beings do not do like that. So people, some people, they think, they believe in formlessness of God. Now, what is formlessness? For that also we have to have right understanding. So there are two types of forms are there for those who believe. One is called pratima, another is called pratika. Pratima means usually in the form of a human being, because we are human beings. And Swami Vivekananda makes fun that if a cow has to imagine, it can never think of God as a human being. It can only think of God as a huge, most powerful cow whom nobody can resist. That would be. If an ant has to think, he will be the biggest ant. But even an ant will think that my ant God is irresistible. He can destroy anything he wants. Of course, if an ant can think like that, so he is a, where is your God? He is everywhere. He knows everything and he can do anything. And if he wants, he can grant me the boon of a mountain of sugar where I don't need to carry. I stay, I borrow myself and my whole colony and there is no need for wars. Now, wars are going to break out because of land, because of water, and because of the paucity of energy, unless we find some alternative way. And by the way, as I am telling you, whatever is happening in this world, it is all the lila of God. It is hard for us to swallow, but that is the truth is, shokali tumari iccha, iccha mai tara tumi, tumar karma tumi koroma, loke bole kori ami. That the truth is, everything is the Divine Mother's will, and that is the ultimate truth. We have to understand that one. So, has God forms as in nun. If you remember, M, Sri Ramakrishna asks M in the very first chapter itself. So, how do you like to think of God? He says, I think of God as formless. Sri Ramakrishna says, Besh, that's very good. But don't think that those who are worshipping God with form are all fools, ignorant people, illiterate people. No, God can have form, God can be formless, and God is also beyond both form and formless. And M started, he himself was recording, how can two contradictory things can happen? In our life, there are so many contradictions. If you are here, you are here. If you are in America, you are not here. But that is not true about God. God can be here, he can be in America, he can be in Mars, he can be everywhere. So, God, not only that, this idea, whether God has got form or formlessness, that is also a thought in the mind, a concept, a vritti in the mind. Because when you are in deep sleep, do you have these kind of questions, whether God is with form, without form, or beyond both form and formlessness? It is only so long as the mind is capable of thinking. The mind is incapable of thinking only one side of a thing. The very nature of the mind is it has to think duality, in terms of duality, cold and heat. That is why somebody had explained something very beautifully. Supposing somebody has been thrown in hell. What is our concept of hell? He is suffering too much. No, if he is suffering too much, how does he know I am suffering? So, necessarily, God gives him the highest pleasure. After experiencing for a moment, for a long time, the person remembers, then he is deprived of that pleasure. Then only he understands, oh, what a suffering, it is hell. Similarly, you have to apply the same concept also to heaven. Suppose somebody is continuously cutting capers in heaven. Do you think you will enjoy it? You go on eating sweets. Do you know that you cannot enjoy this sweet continuously? Even to recognize that this is a sweet, you must have the opposite idea. What is not sweet? Not only what is not sweet, but what is bitter, what is sour, what is salty, what is tangent, etc. So many other varieties one has to be aware of it. So the essence of what I am talking is, this world, which means our own mind, consists of duality, and this is the nature of the mind. You cannot conceive of what is formless unless you have an idea of what is form and vice versa. Not only that what is formless aspect of God. Usually people, so let us say Muslims, they think God should not be imagined in the image. They think they don't worship God in image. Then why do they have to go to do namaz in a mosque? If God is everywhere, they can do namaz anywhere. Of course, sometimes some of them do it even in the aeroplanes also. That is a different issue. You don't need to turn to Mecca. God is only in Mecca. No, all these are aids. Even that structure like the mosque is also to remind us of God only. So, unknowingly they do it. But mostly what they want to think about God is, with certain qualities, He is all merciful, He is all forgiving, and He protects His devotee, etc., etc. And that is the common idea every one of us have got. Even when a person is looking at a piece of stone, he is not thinking about the stone. God is a stone. No, God is everywhere, and He is like a human being, and He knows everything, and He is all merciful. All these qualities are superimposed automatically by every devotee of God. Anyway, so the Brahma devotee asks, and Sri Ramakrishna's reply. And this topic comes many times because we need that teaching. But Sri Ramakrishna says something. So what is he telling? No one can say with finality that God is only this and nothing else. He is formless, and again he has forms. For the bhakta, he assumes forms. But he is formless for the jnani. That is, for him who looks on the world as a mere dream. The bhakta feels that he is one entity and the world another. Therefore, God reveals himself to him as a person. Let us analyze this, because as I said, the more I dwell upon this gospel, the deep is my own understanding. First of all, he says, first thing Sri Ramakrishna says, which will be completely in accordance with what the Upanishads teach. Taittiriya Upanishad says, Vang Manasa Gocharam. God is beyond the mind and He cannot be expressed. Because if I don't know something, how am I going to talk about it? So He is beyond mind, and first He is beyond mind, and second is naturally, as a consequence, He is beyond speech also. But at the same time, we have to start from where we are standing. So, these ideas are given for us. So, what What is Sri Ramakrishna telling? Avang manasa gocharam. No one can say with finality, because every person is only a mind. Every mind is limited by time, space and object. It is called paricheda. Desha paricheda, kala paricheda, vastu paricheda. Therefore, we cannot think of God as limited. That is what he says. God is only this. Because the moment you say God is this, you cannot say God is something else. That goes contrary to our understanding. He can be what is called formless, and again he has forms. And then Sri Ramakrishna pronounces for the bhakta, he assumes forms. And this is a statement which we have to understand properly. There are Krishna bhaktas, there are Shiva bhaktas, there are Devi bhaktas, there are bhaktas of Christ, bhaktas of Allah, bhaktas of Buddha, etc., etc. Now, for the all these types of devotees, they have certain idea. Krishna bhakta thinks Krishna is like that. But among Krishna bhaktas also, there are so many varieties are there. Gopala Irma, for example, used to only think about that baby Krishna. I have to take care. I am the mother. And without me, this fellow is totally useless. You see, this Krishna, that is Gopala, that Gopala Irma was worshipping, he has this much knowledge. Butter is very tasty thing. Naturally, I have to confess that why does he want butter? Because he was completely unaware of Rasagulla. That Rasagulla is only 100 years back invention. So poor Krishna has no knowledge of Rasagulla. If he had knowledge of Rasagulla, he would have demanded Rasagulla. Who goes for butter when there is this first-class Rasagulla, Rasamalai, Jilebi? As Thakur was very fond of Jilebi. He says it is like a viceroy of India. Everybody has to make place, even if it is a crowded place. When his carriage approaches, everybody will make place for him. So, nobody can say, nobody should say that God is only this much, because if the person who says that God is this much, his understanding is only that much. That is what we have to understand. He is formless, and for the sake of the bhakta, he assumes forms. That means what? Whatever the mind thinks, this is God. And God also has to assume that form. Very interesting. So, even Hanuman did not like the form of Vishnu. So, into Rama-Ravana-Yuddha, then Rama recalled Garuda. Garuda liked Vishnu's Chaturbhuja Vishnu. But Hanuman liked only Dvibhuja Rama. So, he was fidgeting. Then, Rama had to tell him that, why are you fidgeting? Was Hanuman an ignorant person? No, he knows very well. But there is something called Ishtadevata. Just like Sri Ramakrishna, he knew about Rasagullas. But he referred only to Jilebi as Viceroy. He never said about Rasagulla that it is Viceroy. So, like that, he uttered, Srinathe Janaki Nathe Abhedaha Paramatmane Tathapi Mama Sarvasvaha Ramaha Kamalalochanaha. I know that Vishnu and Rama, they are completely non-different. But even though I know that for me, this is the Lord of the Sita, Rama, Tathapi Mama Sarvasvaha Ramaha Kamalalochanaha. I like Rama's form. This is called Ishtadevata Siddhanta. Why was Sri Ramakrishna referring to this? Because we have to develop Ekarupa Bhakti. Then only first we have to start our spiritual life with one Ishtadevata. And once we progress in spiritual life, once we realize God through that Ishtadevata, once you enter into a huge tent through one particular door, then you perceive there are so many number of doors are there, through which anyone can enter from any side at any time. But until that time, it is what is called a only intellectual notion. A person doesn't know that God is everywhere. First, we have to see God somewhere. Then only we can understand that the same God is everywhere. Of course, until that time, we have that intellectual notion. That will not do. So, God can assume any form that the devotee can come. There are Hindus who worship Varaha Avatara. Some people worship Nrisimha Avatara. But peculiarity is, even though it is, the head is like a boar's head, but rest is like a human body only. And there are many people who are upasakas of this, what is called Varaha Avatara, Nrisimha Avatara. In fact, one of the disciples of Shankaracharya was a great upasaka of this Nrisimha. He only saved Shankaracharya from the clutches of a Kapalika who wanted to sacrifice his own guru, Shankaracharya, in order to obtain certain, some petty powers, siddhis. So, God assumes means what? God is available in whatever way a devotee, a sincere devotee, thinks sincerely and believes that God is like this, he appears to him. There is a beautiful teaching of Sri Ramakrishna, and he mentions like that. And I think it was Swami Brahmananji who said, once a person has got darshan vision of his Ishtadevata, then there afterwards he recognizes my own Ishtadevata is appearing in the form of so many other devatas. So the truth is one, ekam sat vipraha bahudha vadanti. Sri Ramakrishna continues. But he is formless for the jnani. That is for him who looks up on the world as a mere dream. We go on reading the gospel without understanding. So, who is the person who is fit to think of God as formless? Such a person is called a jnani. And what? How do we know whether this person is a jnani or not? Simply claiming, I don't worship images, he is not a jnani. That is, a person who looks on the world as mere dream. That means nothing in this world appears to be real for him. Only such a person can be called, really speaking, a jnani. Only such a person, God becomes formless. Formless means what? Formless means not emptiness. Formless means he is just like the same space, appears like a small pot, big pot, small baby, grown up person, youth. There is a hymn which says, Tvamva kumaraha, utava kumari, utava prithaha. You are a young man. You are a beautiful young maiden. And you are also moving forward with tottering steps with the help of a staff. Everything is nothing but you. Such a person alone can think of God as formless. Formless means he is everything, not simply an empty space. The bhakta feels that he is the one entity and the world another. But who is a bhakta? A bhakta is a person who feels that I am an individual and the world, everything in this world is separate. Such a person alone, for him alone, God appears as Ishtadevata with various forms. A person who knows everything has a form, for him God also has a form. A person who knows everything is formless, for him God also appears. That is why Swami Vivekananda used to say again and again, as man grows, God also grows. Peculiar statement, if we do not really analyze it properly. That is, as man's understanding about himself grows, his understanding of God also grows. That is what we have to understand. Sri Ramakrishna continues, but the jnani, the Vedantist, for instance, always reasons applying the process of neti neti, not this, not this. Through this discrimination, he realizes by his inner perception that the ego and the universe are both illusory, like a dream. Then the Jnani realizes Brahman in his own consciousness. So Sri Ramakrishna is further clarifying that earlier idea. A Jnani is one for whom the whole world is a dream. What do I mean by the world? Because I am the world. If I am a person, God also, the world also is full of persons, forms. But a person who thinks, I am not the body, I am not the mind, I am not even the causal body. That is called really thinking about the world as a dream. That is just like when a person wakes up. We have to understand these sentences properly. When we are dreaming, we should never call it a dream. Of course, we don't call it a dream. We act and react as if it is the waking state. Only when we come out of it, look back, remember what we have experienced, then only in comparison with this waking state reality, that dream reality becomes unreal. Similarly, when we wake up from this waking reality also, which is temporarily called as Turiyavastha in the Mandukya Upanishad, then only we understand, I am pure consciousness. That is what he says. Then the Jnani realizes Brahman in his own consciousness, I am Turiya, I am only this consciousness, this Chaitanya alone, is experiencing as temporarily assuming identity as a waker, as a dreamer, and as a sleeper. Do you know what I mean? Think of Brahman, existence, knowledge, bliss, absolute, as a shoreless ocean. Through the cooling influence, as it were, of the Bhakta's love, the water has frozen at places into blocks of ice. It is very true. You go to the Arctic area, it is all full of ice. But that ice is only through the cooling influence, very, very cold, maybe minus 80, minus 100 degrees, like your refrigerator. As in the refrigerator also, there are places where you can keep things for a few days, but there is a compartment where you can keep things frozen for a long time. That is what we have to understand here. So the water has frozen at places into blocks of ice. And when we take this analogy, we also have to understand, supposing for some reason, so that area has become quite warm. What happens? That ice starts melting and huge chunks of that ice starts breaking into pieces and starts falling into the ocean, increasing the level of the ocean. And that is what the scientists nowadays are telling us. Because of the warmth, that is global warmth, huge chunks of ice are melting, Himalayas are melting. So the result will be chaotic. We cannot understand this idea of holistic idea that this is all because of the climatic changes and mostly brought about by our own civilization, by the way we are warming up things. When you are gleeing, sitting in the aeroplane, I can reach Varanasi in 1.5-2 hours. But how much of heat it is producing and the collective effect of millions of aeroplanes flying all over the world, creating so much of gas discharges and heat and cutting down of the forests. How global humidity is rising, and the scientists, weather scientists are predicting that many, many cities like New York, etc., so they are going to melt down completely. They will be submerged like Dwaraka in the oceans. We are not able to understand. But the thing is, there is God. According to Hindu Vedanta, God has divided history into four categories. ಸತ್ಯಯುಗ, ತ್ರೇತಾಯುಗ, ದ್ವಾಪರ ಯುಗ, ಅಂಡ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕಲಿಯುಗ. ಅಂಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿ ಟೈಮ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೈಕಲ್ ಚೇಂಜಸ್. ಸೊ ದಿಸ್ ಫಿನಾಮಿನ ಆಫ್ ವಾರ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ನ್ಯೂ. ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ಹಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯುಮ್ಯಾನಿಟಿ ಆಸ್ ಪೀಟರ್ ಸರೋಕಿನ್ ಹ್ಯಾಡ್ ಶೋನ್ ಇನ್ ಹಿಸ್ ರೀಕನ್ಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಹ್ಯುಮ್ಯಾನಿಟಿ ಆರ್ ಸೊಸೈಟಿ, ಐ ಫರ್ಗಾಟ್ ದಿ ಟೈಟಲ್, ಇಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ನೋನ್ ಹಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಎಂಟೈರ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ದೇರ್ ವರ್ ವೆರಿ ಫ್ಯೂ ಇಯರ್ಸ್ ವೆನ್ ದೇರ್ ವರ್ ನೋ ವಾರ್ಸ್, ಸ್ಮಾಲ್ ಆರ್ ಬಿಗ್. ಹಿಸ್ಟ್ರಿ ಇಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ದಿ ಸ್ಟೋರಿ ಆಫ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಫೈಟಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಅನದರ್ ಮ್ಯಾನ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದಿ ವೆರಿ ಬಿಗಿನಿಂಗ್, ಅಂಡ್ ದಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಯು ಮೇ ಇಮ್ಯಾಜಿನ್. ಒನ್ ಡೇ ಐ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಟು ಸ್ವರ್ಗಲೋಕ ಅಂಡ್ ದೇರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ನೋ ವಾರ್ಸ್. ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಬಿ ಮೋರ್ ಫೂಲಿಶ್ ದನ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಗೋ ಟು ಸ್ವರ್ಗಲೋಕ ದೇರ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ನೋ ವಾರ್ಸ್. ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ವಾರ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಸೀಯಿಂಗ್ graphically described in our Puranas between Devatas and Rakshasas? Continuous warfare. Sometimes the Devatas win and becomes Rakshasas. And then Rakshasas win, become Devatas, and they misbehave and again go back into Rakshasas. This never stopping, ever recurring events continuously going on, that is the story of God's Leela. That is why it is said that God only yatha purvam akalpayat, dhata yatha purvam akalpayat. In the Rig Veda, what is creation? Every time a new yuga starts, Brahma wakes up. Brahma's waking up is called a start of a yuga. Sahasra yuga paryantam aharyat brahmano viduhu ratrim yuga sahasrantam te ಅಹೋರಾತ್ರ ವಿಧ ಜನ. ಇನ್ ದಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್ಲಿ ಡಿಸ್ಕ್ರೈಬ್ಡ್ ದಟ್ ವೆನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟಿಂಗ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡೇ ಟೈಮ್. ವೆನ್ ಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಗೋಸ್ ಟು ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ಪ್ರಳಯ. ಅಂಡ್ ವೆನ್ ವಿ ಗೋ ಟು ಸ್ಲೀಪ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಕಾಲ್ಡ್ ನಿತ್ಯ ಪ್ರಳಯ. ವೆನ್ ವಿ ವೇಕ್ ಅಪ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಅವರ್ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ. ಎವ್ರಿ ಆಕ್ಟಿವಿಟಿ ಈಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಬಟ್ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ, ಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಅಂಡ್ ಲಯ. ಆಸ್ ಐ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪ್ಲೈನ್ಡ್ ಮೆನಿ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್, ಎನಿಥಿಂಗ್ there is a beginning of an activity, there is a continuation of that activity, and that activity comes to an end. Every activity is nothing but creation, sustenance and dissolution until a new creation starts. So God once for all created a mold, and whatever he puts in that mold, the same shape it will come. So only once he needs to create the mold. That is what Brahma remembered. This is the mold, and then that is it. His very thought becomes a creation. The same thing. This is what Swami Vivekananda had said, how many times I came to America and lectured in the past, countless times, and in future also countless times come. It is, he gave the example of, I felt plaything that which goes up like boxes, and then it goes Ferris wheel. What does it mean? It means some passengers get in, some passengers get out. So this going on all the time, like that every yoga, it starts and it has certain characteristics and it ends in the end, and again it begins. This is called Brahma Chakra, the wheel of Brahman. It never stops. What is at the down at the bottom goes up, and what is at the top, it comes down. This wheel goes on and on and on and on and on. That is why samsara is called anadi, beginningless. These are the beautiful thoughts. We will have to meditate upon it. But this is the important point, that God can be realized. God realization alone is the very goal of life. God realization means to know that I am God. Each soul is potentially divine. I am divine. That is the goal of life. And that can be achieved through certain disciplines which are called Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Raja Yoga, Jnana Yoga. This is what Sri Ramakrishna had come to awaken in us. this spiritual consciousness. We will talk about this subject, beautiful subject. Even though you may be thinking, we are talking about the same subjects. Yes, we have to go on talking the same subjects until every idea merges into one idea. Finally, I am that Aham Brahma Asmi. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Saritva Pranamami Muhur Muhuhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti. Jai Ramakrishna.